Aaron with you this Tuesday evening. Now, I said we're going to speak about acupuncture because have you ever been treated with it? Reason I ask is, you know, well, just in case you didn't know the practice where fine needles are inserted into your skin at specific points, it's often used as a complementary treatment to treat conditions like chronic pain, headaches or nausea. But apparently, there's a growing number of people who would turn into it for help with anxiety and depression. Well, Alex Jacobs is the CEO, get my words out, of the British Acupuncture Council and here to tell us a little bit more. Alex, let's just start with simples. For people who aren't sure about acupuncture, what's the practice?
Well, you described the practice of acupuncture, but it's actually part of a whole system of medicine. It's China's mainstream system of medicine for a couple of thousand years. And it's the same technical basis that China used to make all those inventions that we've heard of, things like the compass and those huge ships that they built hundreds of years ago. They used that same technical knowledge for their medicine. And they realized that if you use acupuncture or sometimes even acupressure on certain points in the body, you can influence the flow of circulation around the body, and that can influence health. And it can, it's now proven to really be able to treat a wide number of conditions.
So we're hearing now about people turning to it if they're in pain or muscle problems. But in terms of the anxiety and depression things, I'd love to hear a little bit more on how that's treating that.
Yeah, so it's got a very good track record of treating mental health conditions. One of the key things that we like to highlight about it is that it's a way of connecting mind and body, where you don't need to use pharmaceuticals. And we know that our mind is connected to our body in many different ways. And when we work on the body, we can influence the mind. So by using different acupuncture points or different massage techniques, we know that that can create relaxation. But in Chinese medicine, actually, we even think that we can influence specific emotions as well through the treatment of acupuncture. If you're interested, we actually have a project running in the NHS in Gloucester at the moment where the practitioners there are treating anxiety and having really good outcomes.
It's interesting when we call things alternative medicines, when actually you go to different cultures and it's not the alternative medicine, it's kind of the first and foremost medicine. Do you think in a Western society we'd become a bit too okay? We'd just go, well, we'll take pills for that rather than looking at other things?
I think it's not that we do one therapy or another and one thing is bad or one thing is good. I think it's more complex than that. I think that we don't know the full range of options. And so that's what we're trying to do with our Acupuncture Awareness Week is enable medical professionals to actually understand, look, there are a range of options. And what you'll see, for example, in chronic pain, for example, where acupuncture is clearly recommended, even on NHS guidelines, is that the conventional thinking is to try and reduce the medications. But as the recommendations are to reduce medications, doctors don't necessarily have the options to fill it with something. And we want to just make people more aware that acupuncture is a really great choice.
What inspired you to enter the field of kind of Chinese medicine and acupuncture and the sorts?
Well, I have a bit of an interesting journey. I was fascinated by Chinese culture and went to live in Taiwan to learn Chinese. And I met a Chinese doctor there who completely turned my world upside down. The things that I experienced, I was living in Taiwan and because I knew Chinese, a lot of my expat friends wanted to solve their health problems, and they knew that I knew this doctor. So I started translating for a lot of people and got to see a lot of people go through his clinic and see the amazing results. I just saw it firsthand. At a certain point, I just thought, I have to study this.
I love that. What do you see as the biggest kind of opportunities for acupuncture in, let's just say, the UK healthcare system over the next couple of years?
Well, if you read the NHS long-term plan, which I'm sure you did cover to cover, which recently got published, you'll see that a lot of the trends in healthcare and the priorities of the NHS are completely catching up with the language and the thinking of traditional Chinese medicine. So things like prevention is all throughout the plan. Chinese medicine is all about prevention. In fact, there's a famous quote from 2000 years ago where they said, treating a patient after the illness has occurred is like forging weapons after the war has started. So it's this idea that prevention is the main thing, but also about lifestyle change, You've probably heard the term personalization of medicine and treating people as individuals. That's something that we've always done. So our medicine is effective, and there's a huge amount of evidence now behind it. And it's cost effective, which is the key thing. I mean, the NHS needs to save money, and so we really think we can be part of that. And then finally, I'd say that one thing a lot of people don't realize is how grown up the acupuncture community is now. People have a perception of alternative medicine as something that's not very rigorous. Well, all of our members do 3-year degree level training. They get trained in Western anatomy and physiology. They get trained in how to treat patients safely. And then within our organization, the British Acupuncture Council, we make sure that our members are safe and they're regulated, and that everybody who is supposed to be and is supposed to be trusted to be in within our community appears in our register, and people who aren't don't.
So if they're kind of like the biggest opportunities that are coming through, what are the biggest challenges going to be for acupuncture? Because I guess things like regulation, public perception, they're all going to have some kind of impact.
I mean, I think that you mentioned at the beginning, have you had acupuncture? If you asked a room full of people, have you had acupuncture, or do you have a close friend or family member who's had acupuncture? Everyone will put their hand up, wouldn't they? Because right now it's well known. The question is can you find someone who's effective, who's well trained, who's safe? And that's the problem that we're trying to solve. That with the British Acupuncture Council, we set these standards, and our standards are accredited by a government body called the Professional Standards Authority for Health and Social Care, basically saying that our standards are equivalent in safety terms to, say, a regular doctor. Now, a lot of people never heard that term, Professional Standards Authority for Health and Social Care. So you ask about one of the challenges is, well, we want the government and we want the public to understand the value of this safety stamp, effectively, from the Professional Standards Authority. And then ultimately, if you ask any of our members, we just want more treatment to get out to more people, and also people who can't afford it as well, so to be able to be more delivered on public health.
So you mentioned like the more treatment and more people getting it. What kind of levels, or how often rather, are the NHS potentially like prescribing someone acupuncture?
It all depends on whether there's a service available, and then that and for the service to be available, it has to be commissioned. And the way the NHS works, it's quite complex, but effectively now that decision making has been sent down a bit more to each individual local area. So in a Gloucester primary care network, they made the decision to have an acupuncture service, and they came to us because they knew that we were reliable and trusted. And then we recruited some members for that service. However, unfortunately, there aren't that many services up and running. And sometimes they're a little bit unstable because they'll be very successful and then there's a change in management and they go away. So what we're trying to do is replicate the success that we've had, build more and more projects up around the country, and then there are services for GPs to refer to.
It's quite exciting, isn't it?
it's a great challenge. But I think that the promise is enormous. And I think if we go full circle back to my first experiences in Taiwan, I got to see the incontrovertible evidence of how amazing this medicine is, And when I started to learn it, even when I was just a student, I remember my grandmother used to have neuralgia. She had these awful headaches where she was all the way through my childhood every winter. And when I just graduated, I just put a couple of needles in, just two, and they went away, never came back. And so she had had that her whole life. And I suddenly discovered that, well, there was such a simple solution to it. So I think that, and particularly we've got an aging population now, the elderly can really benefit too.
Amazing. Alex, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
The sound of Herefordshire and Worcestershire. Aaron Verma.